Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, June 8th, and we're glad to be able to send out these messages over WSOF and WAJJ Radio and thank God for His blessings. Well, I mentioned yesterday that we were traveling down to Fairdale in Kentucky. We're still there at the time of this broadcast. And there are camp meetings going on this week. We'll be there through tonight and then be headed back tomorrow for our services there. So hope you pray for us. Got a good song queued up and then the message from the Word of God. All right, friends, it is time to look into the Scriptures again. We're still in Matthew chapter number 7, looking at verses 15 through 20. Last couple of weeks, we've been looking at these verses and focusing primarily on verse number 15, we're going to move along just a little bit more on this week's broadcast. I'm talking about Christ's counsel concerning prophets. He's talked about the paths. Now he's going to talk about the prophets, false prophets particularly. He says, beware of false prophets. And we dealt with that, as I said, last week and a couple days in the week before. We're going to start talking about the warning of the master and the wearing of the mask. And in the wearing of the mask, the first thing we're going to talk about, we're going to look at the disguise that is spoken of by our Lord. Well, we dealt with some of that on yesterday's broadcast, and we will have a little bit of repeat of that on today's broadcast. Bring us up to the second point. Not only the disguise in the wearing of the mask, but the deceit. We're going to start looking at the deceit that is mentioned by our Lord as well. All right, so hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Matthew chapter number 7 and verses 15 down through verse number 20 again for our reading today. The last couple of times we've looked at this, I've only dealt really with the first four words, beware of false prophets. Tonight, by the help of the Lord, I intend on completing the verse number 15. Amen. And then, Lord willing, we'll come back and look at the other verses at another time. But I've got some thoughts on this verse that I hope will be helpful unto us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I've called it Christ's counsel concerning prophets. He's dealing specifically with false prophets and that warning to beware of false prophets. There are preachers that'll use King James when they know they're in a King James group. And they'll preach about it as long as they know they're in that group. But when they're in another group, it's a whole different story. Amen. I'm telling you that disguise that they're wearing. And I could say other things that go along with that. But their idea here is that they're trying to get in unawares. The main difference between wolves and dogs compared with those holy things is this. He says in chapter 7 verse 6, he's telling you to be careful. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. Here's the idea. I use these three fellows as illustrations. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Right now they're dogs. All right. And you're coming with that which is holy, and he says you got to be careful that you don't give that which is holy to the dogs. That has the idea you're going to them. This deal with the wolves, you're not going to them. They're coming to you.
Right.
Amen. They're coming to you. Some of those wolves will knock on your door. Some of those wolves will try to appear on your computer screen. Some of those wolves will try to appear in your fellowships. Are you listening? They'll do their best to come to you. He said, be careful. These wolves come in sheep's clothing. They're coming to you. In the case of us trying to give the dog the holy thing, you're trying to convert them. In this case, they are trying to convert you. That's the idea.
Right.
Amen. Lord, help us.
I worked one time, I'll just throw this out, one time in drywall, there was a boy I went to school with was a plumber and had his own plumbing company, and he had a fellow working for him. I didn't know it at the time. The boy I went to school with was Jehovah's Witness, but the guy working for him was. The one I went to school with was not all that zealous, was not all that faithful, I guess, of a Jehovah's Witness, but the other was. And Dave was his name. Dave was a good guy. He's a good worker, hard worker. Every day at lunch, he'd get out his lunch bucket and pull out his Awake magazine and start reading his magazine. And he'd talk and different things. And I remember one day, he hadn't been working there long on that particular job. Another fellow came in that was a carpenter. And he said to him, he said, "Preacher, be careful that you don't let Dave convert you." He said it out loud. He said it where Dave could hear him. And I said, "Dave's not going to convert me, but I'm praying that I can convert Dave." And there was a struggle in there that we were trying to, each one trying to explain to the other what we felt like was right. Now I said to him, and I don't have time to run this all the way, but I said to Dave, I said, "Dave, if I'm wrong and you're right, there's no hell at the end of this thing. But if I'm right and you're wrong, there's hell at the end of where you're going." Yeah. Amen. And I, by the way, I know it is right. Amen. There is a literal burning hell. It's not a question about it. There is a literal burning hell. And the only way to escape that is to be saved by the good grace of God. All these actions and all these deeds are not going to work. But the idea is they're coming at us. They're trying to attack us. They're trying to infiltrate us. And they're doing it with a disguise. Now, our Lord's description of these men, he said they come to you in sheep's clothing. Turn with me to Zechariah, just a couple of books, a few books back. Malachi, if you're in Matthew 7, Malachi, just a few pages then. Zechariah, chapter number 13. Just be a few pages back in your Bible. And while you're turning to Zechariah, I'll say this, and that's why I'm getting you there. This is picturesque, pictorial language our Lord is using to describe, and we understand that, a wolf in sheep's clothing. But, and I believe it's figurative language. We understand that. But there was a time when the old prophets wore coarse clothing. The old prophets would wear sheepskins. Isaiah talks about it, but also Hebrews talks about they wandering about in sheepskins. Amen. They would wear, Elijah wore a garment they said was camel's hair and a leathern girdle. John the Baptist, they said, wore camel's hair and a leathern girdle. It was rough clothing. They wasn't. And our Lord said, if you're looking for those that are wearing soft clothing, they're in the king's house. But the prophets are out on the street and they're wearing rough clothing. So here's the idea that some of these old prophets, some of these false prophets would try to dress like the old prophets in order to deceive the people. And I believe our Lord may be alluding to that in Zechariah chapter number 13. It says that very thing in verse number 4. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied. And neither shall he wear a rough garment to deceive." You see that? So he said some people, false prophets, have been wearing these rough garments, these sheep's clothing, in order to try to deceive people into believing that they are a real prophet. Amen. So our Lord refers to these men, and I believe he's telling us just as the former false prophets wore something to disguise what they really were, these current false prophets are doing the same. Not only is there the disguise, but there's the deceit. He says in the latter part of verse 15, "But inwardly they are ravening wolves." But inwardly they are ravening wolves. These men and women might look like sheep by the casual view of the outward appearance, but on the inside, they're still beasts in nature. They're still ravening wolves in nature. Now, I'm sure you know that a literal wolf is a scary thing. A literal wolf is not a pretty creature, especially when they're on the prowl and on the attack. So, as I said, the sheep would automatically, naturally be fearful when that lamb or that wolf would come and approach the lamb. So the wolf's idea in this is that he might disguise himself sufficiently that he might get close enough to surprise them with his ferocity, ferociousness. Amen. Can I say to you that sometimes these false prophets come in and they go for a while with their stuff to try to get things in, but somewhere along the line they're going to reveal what they really are. Amen. Amen. They're trying to surprise the flock and then do their damage. That same, I believe, is true of false prophets. I say it this way. Heretical teachers are scary people. Amen. People that you know are just out there. I mean, just out there in their doctrine. They're scary people. Therefore, they disguise their heresy, painting it in such a way as to make it acceptable. Amen. A.W. Pink, in his commentary, quotes an unnamed Puritan. He doesn't say who he is. He just said a Puritan said this, and this is a good quote. This is the quote. The face of error is highly painted and powdered so as to render it attractive to the unwary. Amen. The face of error is highly painted and powdered so as to render it attractive to the unwary. Those that are not aware, those that are not alert, see it just as common. Now, there's another commentator of the past, David Thomas. It's not the Dave Thomas that had Wendy's hamburger joint. But this David Thomas was a Bible commentator in the 1800s. Charles Spurgeon highly recommended him. He said this about this text. I want you to listen. He said, mark you, it is the evil principle which he disguises, not the good. It is the wolf that puts on sheep's clothing, not the sheep, the wolves. Vice always puts on the robes of virtue. And error speaks the language of truth, but never the reverse. Are you following that? That's a good statement. Back in the 1800s, he said, mark you, it is the evil principle that he disguises, not the good. It's the wolf that puts on the sheep's clothing. Now here's what I thought about. That is a powerful point, and it needs to be examined. We ought to think about that. When you look at our modern religious world, what are they doing? They're dressing the truth in wolves' clothing. That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to dress the truth in the world's garments in order to make it more acceptable to the world. They say they're trying to win the world to Jesus. Amen. Dressing the truth in worldly garments, trying to win the world to Jesus. Can I tell you that the lyrics of the sheep's song by dressing them in the garments of wolves desecrates the sheep's song and does not do good. It tends to evil rather than good. Amen. When you try to take the words of God's music, the words of good music, or good songs, I guess to say, because it's the lyrics, and dress it in a worldly tempo, or in a worldly swing, or in a worldly manner. Amen. I'm glad nobody didn't have their camera out while I was doing that worldly swing thing. But when you take God's good music, God's good songs of adoration and songs of praise, and you make it only entertainment, or you make it something that is fleshly and sinful. And listen, it bothers me, and I haven't seen it in years, but when I was doing a study on some of the contemporary Christian music, and if you turn it on the dial, they have that microphone, and they sound seductive singing into the microphone. Men and women are sounding and acting seductive to the microphone and to the music. There's something wrong with that. God's not in the seductive business. It's harlots that are seductive and seducing. Amen. It's the devil that is subtle. Amen. And seducing spirits. Amen. But this world now, or the religious world saying, we're taking the sheep song and we're dressing it in wolves' garments. I say it's evil. Then they take the sheep's message. I'm talking about the Word of God. They say, well, they can't understand the message of salvation. So they dress it in the world's wolf language. It's not helping it. It tends to evil.
Right.
Amen. How about they take the message of salvation? This is common today. Take the message of salvation or the message of the Bible and they portray it on the world's wolf screen, their movie screen, and they've got all these actors that are, they are harlots and prostitutes and such as that, playing the parts of the heroes of the Bible and the people of the faith, and they're promoting that and pushing that and saying, come see Jesus on the big screen, or come see Paul on the big screen, or come see the gospel on the big screen. I'm telling you, that is trying to take the sheep's garments and put it into the wolves' garments, and it tends to evil is what it tends to. You don't have to deceive people with the gospel. Amen. Amen. The Bible, here's what the Bible says in Isaiah, and I forgot now, there in the 50s, he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You know what that's saying? The gospel message ought to be a clear message. The gospel message is not a deceptive message. The gospel message is not slipped in. Amen. The gospel message ought to be a clear message. Amen. They ought to know which side we stand on. Amen. They ought to know whether you're a sheep or a wolf. Amen. Well, our King James Bible speaks a language that sheep understand. I believe that. At least they love it. They may not understand all of it, but they love the King James language. These modern versions dress in worldly attire. I believe that's right. Well, John Brown was another commentator of the 1850s. He was highly esteemed again by Charles Spurgeon and A.W. Pink both. He said this about these people. I want you to listen. He said, they have the appearance and the profession of being humble, harmless, disinterested, and devout. But they are in reality under the influence of some unworthy principle, actuated by a selfish love of profit or of praise. Amen. They're trying to get a following, not to Christ, but to themselves. That's the idea. They have a selfish motive in their quote-unquote ministry. They have a selfish motive. Listen, beware of this crowd always trying to get you to go to their church, trying to get you to join up with them and go along their way. Amen. I don't like it when preachers tell other church members, you ought to come to our church. You ought to be a member of our church. There's something wrong with that. Amen. I don't believe God calls sheep stealers. Amen. I don't believe He honors sheep stealers. Amen. That's not saying that people don't ever move, and not saying that they shouldn't ever move. But I am saying, be aware, be careful of those that try to steal you out of the flock. Amen. They may be producing a following unto themselves. That's what he talks about. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.